Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show. Hey everyone, we're recording on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy belated Mother's Day,
So we have a full show for you guys today. First up, we're going to start off with Be Better. And if you haven't listened to previously, Be Better is our take on what you can do to make your lives better in a week. I'll have my comments, Artesia will have hers, but we hope that this is something you can take away and actually take action on over the next week.
Yeah, something to make your life or your day or your week better.
My Be Better for this week is to provide added value and leave it at that. In the shortest way possible, what this means is everybody has their job, everybody has what they do on a day-to-day and what's expected of them. This week, focus on doing one thing beyond that. Find a way you can create added value and leave it at that. Literally drop the mic once you've done this. Be Barack Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He added value. America's better. Mic drop. Because it's very important. So one way that I added value in the last week is, you know, I work in a PR firm, so we're all about billable hours. You got to make sure you're good. In general, we've been doing a lot of new business, and I've been looking at what's something else I can do. Well, last week, I attended Adweek's Women in Media event with you. Then also, I went to Hulu's Upfront. So I decided to put together notes based on that, based on contacts I made, and then also giving people an understanding from a work perspective of what was the value at that event.
Wait, so you went to Hulu's Upfront?
Yes, I went on Wednesday morning.
So you got
morning.
To see, like, maybe, like, what their new shows are going to be, what their lineup is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. It wasn't anything breathtaking. I'm much more of a Netflix fan, but I did enjoy sitting there with Amy Poehler and a few folks, so that was good.
Okay, well, my Be Better this week... Oh, sorry, were you done?
I am done.
Okay. My Be Better this week is reconnect with old friends. And this is a Be Better because just yesterday I was able to connect with two of my friends from college. They were in the city and we just, you know, kind of picked up where we left off from the last time we saw each other. And it's important to get together with people who, quote, knew you back when, who are just your friends kind of no matter what. Just whether it's a phone call or whether it's a get together, just take this into the next week to try to reach out to people from your past and just reconnect with your old friends. It's good for the soul. It's good to laugh with people, you know, who you share inside jokes with. And I think that that's beneficial for everybody.
No, so, it's a good one.
Reconnect.
All right. And next up, we have All Things Success.
Yes. So for All Things Success this week, we want to talk about an article that we saw from Forbes. The title of the article is 5 Things Your Boss Really Wants But Never Talks About. So let's just go through these, see if it's true, if these are true things, or if these things like should not be on the list. So one of the things that they say is your boss wants solutions, not problems. Your boss is too busy to solve every problem on the team. What they want you to do is come to them with solutions to problems, not the problems themselves.
That's partially true. That depends on what kind of boss you have. If you have a boss that wants to kind of peripherally be involved, then yes, that's good. If you have a boss that is secretly a micromanager, then they actually want to know all of the details. And then there's also a third type of boss that literally just wants to stick up in the vision level, which means they'd rather you solve the problem without them even knowing it, because in their mind, that means you're handling what you need to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel is I always see is people are like, just fix it. If you have fixed a problem before I even knew it was a problem, then you're really succeeding.
Yes, because I've seen it backfire in people where they bring the solution and say, here's the problem, here's how I think we should fix it. And then in reviews, people say things like, well, they're looking for permission. They don't feel empowered enough and they should focus on that. So just know what type of boss you're looking for. But in general, bosses don't actually want to solve problems. They want you to solve them.
Yeah. And I think that some problems that you can bring to your bosses can end up being, like, not necessarily petty, but just, like, foolish and, you know, kind of, like, not office drama, but all the little things, I guess I could say. Is I don't think bosses want to hear, like, all the little things that might be going on within a team or within a department. If anything, I feel like they only want, like, the big problems.
For sure.
Or the big solutions in this case. Mm-hmm. Next is they say your boss wants you to be a brand ambassador. Every boss wants their team to be seen as important and productive. Become the team ambassador by toting your boss's skill as a leader in your team's success and commitment to stakeholders and all the people you report to.
It's hard to do this authentically without seeming like you're just trying to be in the politics game.
Yeah. Being a brand ambassador. Basically, they're saying represent you, like represent your boss, represent your team, your department well at all times. That's kind of like how I interpret this. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. Like, yes, a boss wants a team that represents them positively. But I reject playing the game at work. I hate that, actually.
Well, I'll say this about this particular piece of guidance. It's always important to tout your team. I question whether or not it's really important to tout your boss. Because I've been in too many of a work environment where the sun literally rises and sets on somebody until it doesn't. There's a reorg, somebody quits, there's a shakeup in power, and suddenly you have a new boss. And it's actually burned me in the past where having too much allegiance to the first boss created a negative effect when the next one popped up in from a Friday to a Monday.
Yeah.
So tout your team, but don't be so visibly aligned with one person in the organization.
And tout yourself.
And exactly.
I mean, that's the winning part. That's the win right there.
Your boss will get the kudos by you being out there and being great.
Right. Yeah, I'm representing the brand. I'm awesome. You know, and I'm on this team, which by default, because I'm on it, is awesome.
that's the secret be better part too. Brand you.
Brand
represent
you.
Brand you.
Exactly. Okay, number three on the list, it says your boss wants feedback about the team. Most bosses want to know what people think of their organization, yet they don't have access to the perception of people on the team. So they want to know what's the team's reputation. They want to know what the negative feedback might be. They want to know some of the criticism so that they can like help make it better. I question this one because this gets very close to like throwing somebody under the bus. Well, there's feedback, which is great, but then this sounds like they're saying your boss wants to know like more about the team dynamics that they may not be privy to. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful about that because you don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
You don't want to throw anybody under the bus for sure, but even if it's not a quote-unquote throw somebody under the bus situation, you also want to choose your words very wisely. And once again, I'm going to come back to saying this is about knowing your boss, because you need to know if your boss is somebody who's going to keep what you say in confidence or not. If you have a boss that's going to say, if you give feedback about somebody positive even, oh, so-and-so likes to do this. And then they go and they talk to that person and say, well, James said, so
yeah,
you like to do X.
They can throw you under the bus.
What that means, what ends up happening in the process is by your boss acting that way, you are actually now going to be put in the same category as your boss and you're going to be cut out of the feedback loop. There's a reason why they aren't telling their boss, even if it's just that I didn't want to share that information.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful what you share, because you can provide value to your boss by giving some inside, but you also don't want to cut off your connection to the rest of the team because they now feel like, oh, anything I tell you, you're going to go tell the boss.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's so true. Because I've been in that situation, and it has definitely been like, okay, well, I don't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with it, because even if it's not anything bad,
yeah,
I didn't choose
to
tell
the boss.
Yeah,
it's a matter of sharing, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, so I see that you now share things with him or her, so I will refrain if I don't want that person to know something.
I've given some counsel to younger members on the team with that kind of thing, just so that they're aware. Because in certain cases, it's the boss, but sometimes it's just somebody above you. I've warned people, okay, when you tell so-and-so,
just
you're
know
really
direct,
telling this
it's
person.
It's a direct line. Yeah. Okay, number four, it says your boss wants a collaborative spirit. Be the glue that keeps everyone on the team working together. Every boss wants to lead a team that functions well together. So be a part of that collaboration. I think that's true. That's kind of a generic one. It's like, yeah, work together, keep it together. And then the last one on the list is expertise. Your boss wants expertise. Your boss needs to lead. Her expertise must be in inspiring and engaging the team to achieve a mission in support of the company's goals. But she expects the experts to be on the team, meaning that you should be an expert and you should be up to date on your industry.
Yeah, there's nothing to argue with here. You just have to know your space, and that's why you're here. This is kind of going back to my be better about the value.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you're bringing that value.
And I think we talked about that in one of the previous podcasts about like investing in yourself and making sure that you're staying up to date as possible in your industry. I think the guidance that I heard on an executive panel was spend like 2% of your income on training and things to make yourself better in your field and to continue to become an expert in whatever you're working in or to continue to become skilled. And so I think that that's true. All bosses want their teams to be an expert because they, I feel like, are busy managing and they need people to kind of be the workers.
Yeah, 100%. You want your team to be fully skilled so that they don't need you to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep that in mind over this week. Again, this article was from Forbes from May 1st this week.
Okay. And next up, we have all things inspiration.
Yes. I'm actually really excited about this. So we saw this video, 5-minute video, floating around Facebook. And it's by Prince Ea. His name is Prince and then EA. I'm not exactly sure how that's pronounced. But he is 27 years old, motivational speaker, poet, activist, and he has a large presence on Facebook and YouTube. And he had this video out, so we want to go ahead and play it now, and then we'll kind of debrief on the thoughts.
All right, sounds good.
Cool.
It is not death most people are afraid of. It is getting to the end of life only to realize that you never truly lived. There was a study done, a hospital study, on 100 elderly people facing death close to their last breath. They were asked to reflect about their life's biggest regret. Nearly all of them said they regretted not the things they did, but the things they didn't do, the risks they never took, the dreams they didn't pursue. I ask you, will your last words be, if only I had... Hey, you, wake up. Why do you exist? Life is not meant to simply work, wait for the weekend, and pay rent. No, no, I don't know much, but I know this. Every person on this earth has a gift. And I apologize to the black community, but I can no longer pretend Martin Luther King... That man never had a dream. That dream had him. See, people don't choose dreams. Dreams choose them. So the question I'm getting to is, do you have the courage to grab the dream that picked you, that befits you and grips you? Or will you let it get away and slip through? You know, I learned a fact about airplanes the other day. Now, this was so surprising, see? I was talking to a pilot, and he told me that many of his passengers think planes are dangerous to fly in. But he said, actually, it is a lot more dangerous for a plane to stay on the ground. I said, what? Like, how does that sound? Well, he said, because on the ground, the plane starts to rust, malfunction, and wear much faster than it ever would if it was in the air. As I walked away, I thought, yeah, makes total sense. Because planes were built to live in the skies. And every person was built to live out the dream they have inside. So it is perhaps the saddest loss to live a life on the ground without ever taking off. See, most of us are afraid of the thief that comes in the night to steal all of our things. But there is a thief in your mind who is after your dreams. His name is Doubt. If you see him, call the cops and keep him away from the kids, because he is wanted for murder, for he has killed more dreams than failure ever did. He wears many disguises and, like a virus, will leave you blinded, divided, and turn you into a kinda. See, kinda is lethal. You know what kinda is. It's a lot of kinda people. You kinda want a career change. You kinda want to get straight A's. You kinda want to get in shape. Simple math, no numbers to crunch. If you kinda want something, then you will kinda get the results you want. What is your dream? What ignites that spark? You can't kinda want that. You gotta want it with every part of your whole heart. Will you struggle? Yeah, you will struggle. No way around it. You will fall many times, but who's counting? Just remember, there's no such thing as a smooth mountain. If you wanna make it to the top, then there are sharp ridges that must be stepped over. There will be times you get stressed and things you get depressed over, but let me tell you something. Steven Spielberg was rejected from film school three times, but he kept going. The television execs fired Oprah, said she wasn't fit for TV, but she kept going. Critics told Beyonce that she couldn't sing. She went through depression, but she kept going. Struggle and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. That is the law of this universe, and no one escapes it. Because pain is life, but you can choose what type. Either the pain on the road to success, or the pain of being haunted with regret. You want my advice? Don't think twice. We have been given a gift that we call life, so don't blow it. You are not defined by your past. Instead, you are born anew in each moment. So own it now. Sometimes you gotta leap and grow your wings on the way down. You better get the shot off before the clock runs out, cause ain't no overtime in life, no do-over. And I know I sound like I'm preaching or speaking with force, but if you don't use your gift, then you sell not only yourself, but the whole world. Sure. So what invention do you have buried in your mind? What idea, what cure, what skill do you have inside to bring out to this universe? Uni meaning one, verse meaning song. You have a part to play in this song. So grab that microphone and be brave. Sing your heart out on life stage. You cannot go back and make a brand new beginning, but you can start now and make a brand new ending.
So that's it. I mean, I think that's extremely powerful.
No, it's so good. There's about 65 things you could probably pull out of that.
Let's just maybe pull a few.
All right, I'll negotiate maybe like 61.
Well, the first thing that like stuck out to me, and I think it's something that I ponder a lot, is the idea of having regret. And he was saying that, you know, they do these studies, and I've heard these studies before, where they talk to people who are older, and they say, like, what do you regret? And they always regret things that they didn't do. It's very rare to find somebody to regret something that they did, but it's the regretting the things that you didn't do, the risks that you didn't take, the fear that the things that you let fear kind of overtake you.
No, it makes sense. I mean, people... If you did something crazy, you tend to say, okay, well, I live. You chalk it up. Either it was a crazy time and you lived through it, or it was something you can now laugh at, saying how crazy was that.
Yeah.
But people don't want to die with what ifs. And usually the what ifs that bother them the most are the personal ones. Not so much work, not so much whatever else. Yeah. This is when people are like, well, I didn't get married, or I didn't have a kid when I wanted to, or I didn't pursue that one love that I should have.
And that's exactly what I wrote down. I was like, I feel like one thing, a risk that people don't take, is they don't let themselves be vulnerable, particularly when it comes to relationships and love. Like, people are afraid to say how they feel about somebody, and I feel like that's something where I'm like, that I could see as a regret that somebody could have, is like, they didn't share their heart with the person who they wanted to before it was too late for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before that person died, before that person got married on their own or whatever. It's like, you don't share, you don't speak your own truth. And then other things, if we do take it into the context of work and stuff like that, I feel like people are so hesitant to make a big move because of the risk of failure, or the risk of, not knowing, like, where money is going to come from or where their security is going to come from. But, like, a lot of people are, like, not happy in their jobs, but they will not quit because they just are scared. I know I've been there before. It's a sense of security that you're not willing to let go of. But right. You're definitely, if you're not happy there, all the new knowledge, the new wisdom says, like, you have to do something else. Like, you have to find another way.
And I think this is so much your whole life. In some ways, we tend to focus a lot on, you know, the job or whatever the case is. Sometimes you need to pick up your life and put it someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see a lot of people just picking up and moving. And sometimes, if it's not that, maybe it's a break. I've seen in the last year a few different people, particularly that I went to college with, that have packed up shop and said, okay, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to go travel.
Or just taking a sabbatical.
Yeah, I'm
going to go. Taking 3 months off. Like, you know what? I need to figure out me. And usually traveling during that time.
Yeah.
But saying, hey, this is something I've always wanted to do, and I'm not going to regret, not doing it.
Exactly. Something that I saw that spoke to me, because, you know, I'm into dreams and everything. It's like, he was talking about Dr. King, and he said, you know, people don't choose dreams. Dreams choose them. And it's, to me, in that, when you think about that, that's some other level stuff, where you're thinking about what your calling is and what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you are really being called to do something beyond you, I think. I've struggled with this before in the context of religion and God. I'm like, ooh, because you're like, you know, when God calls it something big, usually.
Yeah.
But in terms of this, okay, I'm like, all right, a dream. I'm ready to be chosen by a dream. I mean, I've been personally chosen by somebody I'm looking at. But on a professional level and a soul level, kind of like, what are you being called to do, and recognizing that you're being called to do it? There are a lot of things.
And not being afraid.
Not being afraid. There are a lot of things that I feel like I do well, But I don't know that I've been called to do that. And I think I have my eyes open for that. So if any of you guys have suggestions, feel free to...
They can't suggest your calling.
Hey, you never know. Because the thing is, all you have to do is recognize it. You have to. They may see it and you don't.
If you know James is calling, please email us at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, let me know. Because maybe when you say it, I will see it.
Well, one thing that... Another thing that I took from it is... when he's asking, are you a kind of person?
Yeah.
Are you fully dedicated, or are you just like, basically, are you just half-assed in your goals and your dreams? And I think that, like, I like this part because I feel like I am that way in a lot of things that I say that I want. If I'm being real with myself, I'm not fully in, because if I was fully in, then I would have more success in that area, or I would be reaching more of the goals that I say that I want. And so I think that thinking about that, it makes you have to analyze, do you know what you really want?
100%.
Do you kind of want it? Because then maybe you'll kind of get it, maybe you won't. But like, do you really want it? Because if you really want it, then you would really work for it. And I think that like that's a good thing to kind of ponder. It's like, are you a kind of person? I think right now, if I'm being honest, I think that I'm a kind of person. And I'm trying to work on being a person that has a goal that I really want, that I'm really willing to work towards, and not just like, oh, well, this would be nice if I had it. Like $1 million. Like, it'd be nice if I had it, but like, am I really willing to do whatever work that would take to get there?
Yeah.
And I have to like answer that for myself and actually like act on it, or just be like, you know what? I am a kind of person and I may or may not meet my goals. I don't want to be that person, but I feel like that's where a lot of people are stuck, because are we dedicated enough to our dreams?
Definitely 100%. And I think in terms of stuff that you really want, and maybe this is something we could talk about in the future. It's like, you know, personal goals, but then also couple goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's stuff that you want for you, and then there's stuff you want together. And how do you negotiate those two?
Right.
Because there is some give and take.
If you need both people involved, and if you need both people dedicated to it, there has to be some kind of agreement on what the goal is.
Yeah. So,
and dedication to that goal.
Yeah. So I think we can talk about that. Actually, we're thinking about a topic, so we'll probably talk about that in a future week. something else that I caught up, you know, hey, I know you're going to say something about this,
what?
But who told Beyonce she couldn't sing? It's like, when he said that, you know, Beyonce, and she went into depression, I'm like, who told her she couldn't sing?
I know, we might have to fact check.
Well, I want to understand that, and I want to know what they're doing right now.
Oh, they're regretting. They are mad. If that's true, then that person is mad.
No, but one more serious point, and then I'm done here, is he said, sometimes you have to leap and grow your wings on the way down. And that's something that speaks to me. A couple times I've been like, all right, we're just going to do this and we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times we try to think and plan and figure out, are you skilled enough? Are you good enough? And I was recently talking with an executive and she was moving positions. And I said, well, how did you make that decision to go from here to here? And she said, you know, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it once it's in front of me. Because she said, if I go up for something and I get it, and I get a good feeling once I've got it,
mm-hmm.
then I know it's for me. So I'm going to step forward, because something about me and something about that thing are coming together.
So she's very much in tune of the way she feels in a situation. Like, kind of like the vibes, right? She's like, this is good, 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 good. And she just goes with the positive energy.
I think it's some of that, but then also, too, I guess she's thinking a little bit on that universe level. Mm-hmm. I told the universe I wanted this. The universe came back and gave it to me. So why am I now going to be in a place of doubt?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take
that
it
confidence.
And I'm going to go forward.
Yeah. The last thing that I have as a takeaway is where he said, struggle and criticism is a prerequisite for greatness. And I think that that is so true. Okay. So yes, this goes to the Beyonce got criticism. Oprah got a ton of criticism. Rarely do you hear someone who's great say, you know what? It was just such an easy path. And I just walked up and like, here I am, a billionaire. Like, it was just like, it was so easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that you never hear that story. There's always going to be people who say you shouldn't be doing this. You can't do this. It's unconventional. It doesn't work, whatever. And it's those people who decide to push past that. You know, that those are the people who are the ones who are great in the end. And I think that that's important for anybody who's working on something where it's not going exactly how you think it should go, or how it went for somebody else, or it's not an easy path. Just knowing that, like, a part of your story will be the struggle. A part of your story will be the criticism.
And you know what? I feel like if you look back on your life right now and you think about some of the things that you have, at some point in there, you did have some struggle, and it was worth it. You went through some things, and you didn't always know how it was going to come out in the end, but you knew that you were going to make it.
Yep.
So, you know, I know already part of my story and struggle is what's going on right now with some of these math requirements for my MBA, but in the end, it will be worth it. So,
I mean, I even think like what we're trying to do with the podcast, you know, we're trying to have a successful podcast that gives people inspiration and ideas and things that they can take into their normal lives. And we're in the beginning phases.
It's 100%. So, you know that we're trying to do that, guys. So if you know anybody who's you think might be interested in it, go ahead and share it with them, especially this episode, because we have a lot on inspiration and success. So feel free to share that, because we're trying to go there, and we want you guys to kind of hopefully pick up something along the way with us.
Nice. Okay, so now we'll go straight into all things culture, all things Facebook culture.
Yeah, Facebook culture. So I joined the Facebook when it was the Facebook, either late 2004 or early 2005 when it hit my college campus, and it was very different. But today, we see people on Facebook going full disclosure quite a bit. And when I say full disclosure, what I mean is that people are putting out almost broadcast statements, like press releases.
About their life.
About their life, what happens to have crossed their mind in the last minute, whatever it is, but it's just like, bam, here it is.
Yeah.
What?
Where's the line?
There's not a line. There's not a line. And I even, there's somebody in my feed who, even now, she'll post stuff, but then immediately tell people, okay, like, don't want any feedback, but this is just what I'm thinking.
Like what?
Hillary Clinton's a boss. I'm not trying to have a debate about it, but so
she'll actually say, she'll actually write on her page something provocative.
Yes.
And then say, like, and I don't want any disagreement on my page. Like, I don't want to hear any comments to the contrary.
Right, which I find interesting. But that's just one side of it. The other side is when people are actually telling somebody something, like how we would use a press release in my business, for the purpose of mass distribution, so everybody understands in the same words, at the same time, mm-hmm. what happened. One example of this was actually somebody, I saw something online, it was probably something that was shared through a feed, and the person said this, and I quote, "So here it is, : my husband is now my wife. Her name is Paula. She's fierce, and I love her. End." Now, I discovered this post when it was about maybe 250 likes deep.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. That was a lot to put right there. But at the same time, I can kind of understand at this point, because she wanted everybody to see it and just know.
Yeah.
This is what's going on in my life. I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that there was nothing else about anybody else. It was like, here is what it is. Bam.
And to your point, it's like, and everybody's getting the same message at the exact same time, and everyone now knows, like, the situation, so you can stop the speculation, you can stop thinking about anything else.
That's the other thing. Sometimes these full disclosure posts are written with a purpose. They're written to kind of quell a conversation that you know is happening, but not coming to you.
It's kind of like you're the press secretary for your life, right? No, because think about, like, how much we put on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. We have our thoughts, our kids, our jobs, like, what we do on the weekends, what we eat, like, everything, you know, for most people is online.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that you're like, and now, news alert.
Like,
this is something new in my life, and I want everyone to know at the same time.
And ... So don't ask me, because I've given you all the key information.
Yeah.
This is it.
And I think that, like, it kind of sets the tone about how people approach you. So that person put that message about their husband, now wife, and now people are going to be... They're going to know, okay, well, I can now be open to say congratulations, or I can be open to say, oh, well, I didn't know this was happening, but, like, thanks for letting us know, like, whatever. It opens up the door of conversation in a way that you might want it to.
Now, I'll tell you, being full disclosure does not always mean that people know how to respond. Because probably a few months later, I saw another post where they were buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so they posted a picture, and in the picture is now her and her wife. And somebody comments, congratulations. Wait, I missed something.
Oh, no.
... And I was like, whoa, that's
where, first of all, why would you write that?
Because that congratulations was fake. And you wrote it so you could say, oh, right, I missed something.
But why would you even, I'll tell you straight up what I would have done, right? If I, quote, missed something, I'm going to scroll through your feed until I find what I missed. I would, like, the thing is, since everything's...
No, I'm guaranteeing
since
you.
Everything is online, I would, if I saw that picture and I didn't already see the post, like, the previous post from months before, I would know you must have said something about this change, and I would have found it. I would never write on somebody's page, what did I miss? If anything, no. That should be a personal direct message.
What I'm
message.
Trying to tell you is...
That should be
so
a direct
many,
message.
There's so many levels of things we could say about Facebook. One is, this person already knew what that was. This was their way of bringing it up.
Okay.
And two, people who do certain things on Facebook don't have the relationship such that she could reach her in another means in order to say it. And so, you want to know what she said back?
Oh, she replied?
She replied.
Oh, Jesus.
And she said, what did you miss? 3 question marks.
Okay.
And now, and no, so there were
stop.
No more comments after that. No more comments after that. Because
that's actually hilarious.
To be fair,
because here's the thing: is that person knew what they were doing when they wrote that comment, and the original poster responded like, "Oh, you want to go there?
Go.
Let's go.
Hit the button and be ready for what comes after." That's what that was. Don't believe me? Just watch.
That's actually hilarious. But I saw something on Facebook similar to that where people were announcing their divorce, and literally they were just like, hey everybody, I want you to know that me and John are mutually going to divorce.
I just hope they did the necessary call arounds, because divorce is serious.
They said we're not mad or angry, but it's better for us and our health, so we can like focus on the things that we need to focus on. Send your prayers, but don't send any condolences. We don't regret getting married. We're still going to be friends and have much love for each other. Also, please don't put any I told you so's on our page. Don't put us down.
Whoa.
They said let love prevail.
Now, there's a story within a story, because that whole don't put any I told you so's on the page, was that necessary?
Well,
I guess they know who they're talking to.
They know their audience, I guess, but again, it's like, this is the culture we live in. This is full disclosure. Most of us people our age joined Facebook in college, okay? Mm-hmm. And at that time, you were just adding people who you met at a party. You're adding people who happen to be in your class, and they might still be your Facebook friends today.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't keep up with them. Do they need to know that you're getting a divorce? They're not your true friends. So why do we have to put... why do people nowadays, 2016, feel like we have to put out a full disclosure message at all? These are not your closest friends. Like, this is not... you don't text these people. You don't see these people most of the time.
This is for all the people who are kind of peripherally there that you don't want to talk to. So I'm telling everybody.
Well,
so
I think
you can't
it's
say
this.
You didn't see it. You know, so when next time you see me, don't ask me, how's Jill?
Yeah, I guess.
Because Jill's not here, and I'm not having that conversation with you.
But I think that this is why people are full disclosure. Because people have spent years posting their life, and now their life is going to be different, and they don't want questions. So,
yeah.
If you post your wedding, if you post your dating pictures, your marriage pictures, your building your life pictures, and then all of a sudden you stop, then you know people are going to be like, oh, like, what happened after 2014? You know what I mean? Like, people are going to see where the stop was. I mean, people have to be full disclosure about everything because they've been full disclosure about everything up to so far.
It's the same happy, sad dynamic, right? So you'll see people posting unending joy, and you know sometimes, okay, there's other stuff going on, but they don't post that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sometimes a moment of shade. It's like, oh, well, you didn't post about this thing, but you posted all the rest of that.
Right.
And then also sometimes people feel like they want to be so open as to show, like, it's real and it's possible, right? So every now and then you'll have somebody in a relationship situation like this say, look, we're good, we're fine, it's not the end of the world, don't feel sorry for us or whatever. And that may help somebody, and they may feel like they're helping somebody also so you can cope with that. Some people with weight loss, some people with depression.
Yeah, they want the support.
They want the support, but they also want to know that, okay, I struggled through this, but I want to know that if somebody else is out there struggling silently and doesn't have the courage to post this, then I'm posting, and they'll see that
other people
are going through it and doing okay.
You know, that's a really good point, because I was listening to the radio, and there was a woman who was calling in. I guess she's in her, like, mid or late 30s,
mm-hmm.
and all her friends have, they're married, they have kids, and her and her husband don't have kids yet. And she called into the radio to ask, like, advice, saying, all my friends, like, every time I see them, friends and family, they ask her, when are you and so-and-so going to have kids? And the truth is that they've had miscarriages. They've had like 3 miscarriages, and they haven't told their at large friends and family, who probably wouldn't ask if they knew that, but they don't know it. And people were telling her, some people were saying, oh, well, you could use this as an excuse, you could say you just don't want them. They were giving different advice, but one person called in and said, you should tell them that, like, that's what you've gone through, because the thing is, there's so much stigma around it that by not sharing your story, you continue to the stigma. And this woman called in and she said, once she shared with somebody, with a friend of hers, and said, hey, I had a miscarriage, like, that's why we don't have kids, is because we're having some difficulty and I've had a miscarriage. She realized that, like, half of her friends had miscarriages.
Yeah, I mean, there are things people go through and don't talk about it. There's so many things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that, like, maybe the full disclosure is a positive thing in a way, because it does open up the door. Oh, well, you're getting divorced. I've been divorced. I've been through it. Or I'm divorced. You know, like, just whatever the case is. It's like,
not everything that we don't, you know, there are a lot of things we don't talk about because we choose to not talk about it. But somehow by not talking about it, it does add this element of shame and something to be hidden.
Yeah, and, but it's not.
Yeah, and not everybody feels that way. So they're just saying, look, I'm not hiding. This is out here. You don't have to see us and then, because we put out a message. Good,
yeah.
So.
We put out our public message. Yes. But no, I think that that's a really good point. It's like, so we have the supports on one side and the let's talk about this and have a community of, like, understanding. And then you have, like, the other side where it's like, okay, but, like, everything doesn't have to be public. And why do we feel like, why do we as a culture feel like we need to share everything of our life? Or is that just the way it is? We just share. This is just what it is.
We just share. We selectively share still. So I think it jolts us when people share these bigger things. But it's just what it is. It's kind of like when that person says, hey, how's your day? And everybody expects to hear good. The minute you don't hear good, you're like, whoa. Yeah. Somebody will hit you with it. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so died or this happened or whatever the case is. So that's just something I saw recently we're thinking about, just this full disclosure, you know, case on Facebook.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on that. Like, have you seen anything that kind of shocked you on Facebook of disclosures? Like, share that with us. And
do you think it's appropriate to share at that level? Like, you know, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Or, you know, should we just keep that to ourselves?
Well, let's round out the show. So all things relationships?
All things relationship. And the main question I have with this is an affair worth it? Is there a threshold at which an affair is worth it or not worth
it? I'm going to tell you straight up. The answer is no.
The answer is always no.
The answer for you is no.
Okay.
The all answer right. for you, James, is no.
So when we talk about is an affair worth it, what brought this up was Darren Houston, who is the former chief executive of Priceline. Darren, to give you some stats, 50 years old, married, and he recently resigned after an internal investigation was done by the board of Priceline Group and found out he was having a quote-unquote inappropriate relationship with a female at the company.
Okay.
The board said that this violated the code of conduct.
Okay.
And upon conclusion of the investigation, he resigned. Now, him resigning in this way means that he gets no severance pay. He does get $33.8 million in equity. Now, this is one of those side
golden
points.
Golden parachute thing.
Golden parachute, but man, how big of a parachute? How big of a cushion? $33 million. I read a story the other day about Yahoo and Marissa Mayer and how if she gets pushed out, she's going to get $55 million. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what a cushion. But anyway, back to this.
Yeah, that's a separate topic.
Yeah. Back to Darren. So he does get $33.8 million, but he also forfeits another $13 million in equity. And now he's out of a job. And he's also got to deal with his wife. He's still married. So there's all this circling going on. And really, in these situations, is it really worth it?
I can't see how it's worth it, honestly.
Maybe this is his what if. Maybe this what if. This woman was just, if he died and didn't pursue this.
Well, then you would think that he could divorce his wife and pursue a new relationship. But no, I mean, is an affair worth it? Definitely not. Most people are not millionaires, okay? So if we kind of bring this back down to the level of the majority of us, is it worth it to lose your... Basically, the bottom line question is it worth it to, like, lose your job and lose some money over an affair? And I think the short answer to that question is no.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Should not be out on the streets, like, losing their job over people.
You need to ask yourself these questions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we go the whole how did we get here route, apparently there was a whistleblower at the company who tipped off the board. And that's what started the investigation. So Darren I don't know what the situation is, but you might want to find out, either you or the woman. Somebody pissed somebody off for them to go report to the board that this was going on.
No, they should not go find out who the whistleblower is. That's the whole point of a whistleblower, is you not knowing who they are.
Well, that's the point of the whistleblower. The point of the one who's at the sour end needs to go find out what's up. But
in that article, there were a lot of, they cited a lot of CEOs who lost their job over affairs.
Now, this is a regular thing. I mean, people date each other or have other levels of relationships mm-hmm. at work with coworkers.
And that makes sense, because think about how much time you spend at work.
Okay. Yeah, and so he was spending a lot of time with this woman. I don't know. There's a lot here. And when you're in the CEO top spot, there's just certain things that are at risk. It's almost like, think of you being the equivalent of the president. There's just certain scandals, even though it's quote-unquote not illegal, you just don't want to be anywhere near.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm talking from not being in that position. I don't plan on being in that position.
Well, I wonder what everybody thinks. Like, do people think that anybody should lose their job just because they have, like, a moral issue? Because, like, that's what it comes down to, barring any kind of, like, collusion or corruption mm-hmm. in the workspace. But if they just lost their job because morally it's wrong... And a lot of jobs do have you sign, like, moral waivers and moral clauses. So if they lost it over the moral side of it, do we think that people should be able to lose their job if they have an affair?
Well, they're saying in the article, they actually said there's a growing percentage. I think about 40% of companies in America now have clauses in their employee guidelines about this. But it's not so much that you can't date somebody else in the workplace. It's there are certain levels. Almost as if that kind of relationship, you know, of over 18, under 16 kind of a thing, there's a certain level at which you reach in a company where you should not be dating somebody below, even if they're not your direct report. Well, I think they're starting to write those in.
But I guess my question to you is, if somebody got fired for having an affair, because everyone knows they're married and they're having an affair with someone else in the office... So not necessarily that it's your supervisor or whatever, but if they got fired because they had an affair and that they don't want someone who's an adulterer being the face of their company lost it, do you think then people should be able to lose their job over that? Because morally, if you're one of the faces of the company and it's like known that you have a wife and you have a girlfriend...
Usually when they
write...
Should
you lose your job? Yes or no?
I don't think you should lose your job for that. Now, what I would say is... The way that they're writing these policies is not that, because then you're open season for anybody who's single.
I know.
The way
they're writing it. I'm giving you a hypothetical. Yeah, I know that that's not how
it's written. So for the hypothetical, no, you shouldn't lose your job for that.
Why?
There's a separation. What I do personally is not affecting this.
But that's not true, because if you are a CEO or a director of a company, what you do personally absolutely can affect our whole company. If people don't like you, or if people think that you don't have ethics or morals or whatever, then they might not want to work with our business. It happens all the time. Like, that's why, you know, when the Duggars had their scandal... And no, I know it's a bit, you don't like.
No.
I know.
We could have a whole podcast on cheating, despicable people.
Stop.
I'm not here for anything related to those people.
All I'm trying to say is that it happens all the time that morals and the way the public views somebody who represents a company can definitely affect your bottom line. So what I'm saying is, I actually think that a company could potentially have the right to fire somebody over that, because it's like your actions and the fact that everyone now knows that that you're doing this, that you're cheating on your wife, that could have a negative effect on our company. You need to go.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that. I think there's a way to do it. Now, what companies are doing is writing in that, but not necessarily about you being married and having an affair. It's about employee conduct, and they feel like that is inappropriate conduct. So what they've written is, depending on your level and the level of the person you're dating, there are a lot of laws in there that are about that. And
okay.
I can see where they're going with that. If the whole basis is on, okay, well, you're married and you're this and you're that, that's very funny, because in the same way that I look at how society works, everybody does what they want to do, and then they turn around and tell somebody else that this is not great. They're the same people who are in the legal firm who wrote the policy in response to Priceline or whoever wrote it. I'm sure you guys have had affairs and maybe currently having an affair among your ranks, but you want to turn around and tell these companies what you'd be doing. So if you want to talk about morals and casting the first stone, let's start with you.
No. Yes. It doesn't matter what the people who make the
policies but I'm saying say. That, yes, because people are making policies that determine other people's lives. And what I'm trying to say is, should you do this?
Well, they might not be subject to the policy, but what I'm saying,
and my whole
they
point
can write
is,
the policy without having to adhere to the policy. Like,
you don't have to adhere to the policy. What I'm trying to say is, everybody, let's just sit down and be real and think about this. Because you want to enforce a policy at which you couldn't live up to. I'm talking about the people at the company.
Oh, such a high standard. Don't cheat on your wives.
People don't do it. People don't do it. That's why the divorce is so high in America. That's why the infidelity rate is so high in America. People don't do it. So they want to get on their high horses. It happens in Congress all the time.
I know. You shouldn't do that. And a lot of them, when it becomes public, they lose their jobs.
Now,
not all of them, definitely. Obviously, not all of them.
And when they leave, they get highly compensated, too.
Exactly. So,
yeah. And this was just something that jumped out because I was
anyways,
like,
bottom
really
line, isn't a fair worth it? The answer is no. What's worth it is becoming a CEO and getting your golden parachute. That's what's worth it. Working hard to get that so that no matter what, you're still good.
Yes, I learned that one. I learned that one in professional responsibility. Write that into your contract. Make sure it's there.
Right.
And also make sure they can't sue you. You can write that in too.
I think this is a kind of a little bit of a hot topic, so I definitely want to hear opinions on this. Like, what do you guys think about any of the things that we covered this week? Hope you found some inspiration on the Facebook post from Prince Ia, and let us know, is an affair ever worth it, and should people lose their jobs? And with that, you guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @_allthesethings. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook at All These Things Podcast. And that's it for the show.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.